From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Ebb. It's Friday, May 8th. Today on the podcast, restaurants aren't opening up just yet, and some of them won't at all.
The cash just isn't there. The business model, whether good or bad, restaurants in America, 90% of what comes in goes out the door.
First, today's headlines.
During the Great Recession, unemployment peaked at 10%. During the Great Depression, it got as high as 25%. And during the last 7 weeks, about 30% of Vermont's labor force applied for unemployment benefits. Labor Commissioner Michael Harrington reported that number yesterday.
Officials are hoping that this spike is short-lived as COVID-19 restrictions begin to ease. And it's worth noting that independent contractors and self-employed people weren't previously allowed to file for unemployment, so that impacts the numbers. But Harrington acknowledged that the situation isn't great.
We had hopes that this wouldn't become as severe or as long as it has been.
And the Vermont Health Department reported 8 new confirmed cases of COVID-19 on Thursday, bringing the total number to 916. And another death was reported, putting Vermont's death toll at 53. 5 people are currently hospitalized and 718 people have recovered after testing positive for the disease.
We've heard a lot about two problems in Vermont recently, plummeting milk prices and rising food insecurity. Some struggling dairy farmers have had to dump their milk, and at the same time, food shelves across the state have struggled to keep up with all the people who now need their help. And some organizations see a solution here.
Yeah, a bunch of local farmers and milk processors teamed up to provide several truckloads of milk and yogurt to the Vermont Food Bank. They were helped by a $60,000 grant from the Vermont Community Foundation. The initial transaction includes 11,500 gallons of milk and 42,000 cups of yogurt. Diane Bothfeld from the Agency of Agriculture says it's a, quote, triple win.
Dairy farmers are taken care of, the processing facilities are taken care of, and the food bank gets the product. So a triple win across the board.
And before we go any further, we want to let you know that we have an email address. And if you're listening, we want to hear from you. We're still figuring out how this podcast sounds, and we want to make sure it's bringing you the Vermont news you want to hear every day. We'd love to know if there's something you wish was different or if there's anything you want to hear more of. So shoot us an email at thefrequency@vpr.org and tell us what you think.
We've already heard from Daniel Luttrell, who's an ICU nurse in Burlington and has listened to every episode so far. Our first official fan who's not Anna's grandmother. Daniel, thanks for your email and thanks for the work that you're doing.
Again, that email is thefrequency@vpr.org. Drop us a line. We would love to hear from you.
Okay, so the restaurant industry is one of the sectors most affected by COVID-19, but the federal aid programs that were supposed to help struggling companies have been mostly useless for restaurants so far. That's because the Paycheck Protection Program doesn't work very well for businesses that aren't able to open back up yet. By one estimate, 30% of Vermont's restaurants could permanently close. And as Peter Hirschfeld reports, even the most successful restaurant owners say they'll need some kind of help to survive this pandemic.
A commercial construction project in downtown Waterbury is the latest sign that Vermont's economy is starting to reopen. But step into one of the village's more popular restaurants.
Eric.
And the ongoing economic toll of Governor Phil Scott's stay-home order comes into full view. The chairs are on the tables in the empty dining room here at Prohibition Pig, and like every other dining establishment in Vermont, this speakeasy-themed restaurant and brewery has been empty for the past 7 weeks. Owner Eric Warnstedt says there's no guarantee that places like his will be able to reopen even after the closure order lifts.
We simply will need cash to reopen.
Restaurants' revenues may have dropped off a cliff, but many of their fixed overhead costs have not. There's rent, utilities, insurance premiums, and Warnstedt, who owns 3 other restaurants, including Head of the Wood in Waterbury and Burlington, says the financial hole has gotten deep.
I think people would maybe look at our group as one of the more successful in the state, probably, and there's no possible way we could open up all 4 restaurants without some other cash.
The Federal Paycheck Protection Program was designed to help small businesses weather the coronavirus pandemic, but it's proven to be an ineffective tool for the restaurant industry. You see, businesses only have 8 weeks to spend the PPP loan once they get it, and that loan can only be forgiven if they use the money to bring employees back to work. Keith Paxman is owner of the Cornerstone Pub and Kitchen in Barrie, and he says those terms pose an impossible dilemma for restaurants.
How is it possible that we can take these funds to get all our employees back when we're not even allowed to be open? And we have an 8-week window to do it.
And Warnstead says most restaurants just can't afford to take on more debt, especially as they look ahead to a summer season that'll likely involve limited seating capacity and soft tourism numbers. Warnstead's run the numbers to see what happens if he draws down $150,000 in PPP money and has to pay it back.
That's $8,000 a month to pay back. There's no possible way you could carry that kind of loan.
Warnstead and Paxman are part of an ad hoc group of restaurant owners that's been advocating for state and federal relief. Paxman says they recently conducted an informal survey of their peers.
And it's sounding like 30% of the restaurants probably are not going to make it through this, especially without some sort of assistance. But where is the assistance coming from right now?
Congressman Peter Welch says that assistance may arrive in the form of revised rules to the Paycheck Protection Program. Welch says PPP regulations crafted by the Small Business Administration have left restaurants in the lurch. And on Vermont Edition Tuesday, Welch told a bar owner that he'll be pushing for an extension of that 8-week drawdown window in Congress's next COVID-19 relief bill.
So we've got to give you more time, and that's why I'd like to have it be at least till the end of the summer, but preferably till the end of the year.
At the state level, Governor Phil Scott says he's looking for ways to give restaurants some of the $1.25 billion in federal aid that Vermont has gotten for its coronavirus relief efforts so far. But Secretary of Commerce Lindsey Curley says it's unclear whether federal law will allow for that kind of direct assistance.
We hope that there will be flexibility in doing grants to some extent, and obviously really low interest loans. But again, we're just trying to navigate the what will be allowable in the CARES Act.
Eric Warnstead says the fate of his industry relies on the state or federal government doing something that they're not doing now. And he says bad things are going to start happening if they don't do it soon.
A lot of places not reopening. It's that simple. The cash just isn't there. The business model, whether good or bad, restaurants in America, 90% of what comes in goes out the door.
Scott said Wednesday that he still doesn't have a timeline for when restaurants will be allowed to reopen. For VPR News, I'm Peter Hirschfeld.
So Henry, like any good Vermonter, you have been checking up on our neighbors. Yesterday, we heard your conversation with a reporter in New Hampshire, which has been hit harder by COVID-19 than Vermont.
Yeah, that's right. And I also talked with someone from across our northern border. Montreal has been the epicenter of COVID-19 in all of Canada. And I spoke about that with CBC reporter Ben Shingler. Here's our conversation.
The rate of transmission continues to go up in certain neighborhoods. So it depends really on where you're talking about. Where I live in the western part of the city, things have died down a bit. But in a neighborhood called Montreal North, things are much more difficult. So yeah, it really depends. And then outside of the Montreal area, things are much quieter and there's not really the same rate of transmission at all.
And what's the feeling right now in the city of Montreal, in terms of the life on the streets, in terms of businesses being open or not? I mean, is it still fairly quiet?
Well, we are in the process of opening up the province again. And it's really, I think people are trying to figure out exactly how to navigate that, because we've been under some pretty severe restrictions for about 2 months. They've opened up retail stores and some manufacturing outside of the Montreal area. And then we're about to open schools in the coming weeks and daycares. So we're all trying to figure out exactly how to navigate that, but at the same time maintain social distance. We're still seeing a lot of deaths in the long-term care homes. So it's a lot to try and figure out exactly how bad it is, what we should be doing. So I think the mood is kind of a mix, and it's getting to be warmer weather. So we're of course, wanting to be outside as much as we can.
And so what's the timeline right now? I understand some things will open in Montreal later this month, but that's been pushed back a bit from what was initially hoped for by Premier François Legault. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. They were supposed to open some retail businesses and a few other things next week. That was pushed back another week. So we're talking now May 18th, the week of May 18th, for schools, elementary schools, and for a lot of retail. There's a lot of pushback from teachers. Some parents are worried about sending their kids back, and they say they won't. So we're expecting a lot lower enrollment than usual, maybe about half. We'll have to see. But there's all sorts of restrictions in the classroom as well. It's going to be a real change. There's a limit of 15 people per class, 15 students. There has to be a social distance between children. This is all very difficult to navigate. If you know children, it's hard to keep them apart. We're still trying to figure out exactly how it's going to work, and it's coming pretty fast.
What's been the general reaction to this push to reopen from the public? I mean, are people on board with it, or are they wary of potentially exposing themselves to the virus again?
There's been a lot of worries about the opening. It's we're moving more quickly than other provinces. We also have the highest number of cases, so it's hard to square those two things. Some school boards say they don't want to reopen. The premier has said we will reopen. But as I said, some parents are planning not to send their children. But at the same time, you know, if you have kids, you would know that it's not easy at home. Like I, for instance, have two little kids at home. And we're working full time, so we're trying to figure out how to care for them and at the same time do our jobs. So a lot of people are in that situation. And as the province tries to open up again and open up more businesses, people will need to go to work. So the children will need to be able to go somewhere as well. So it's really a challenge. And there's a lot of different opinions about whether the government is doing the right thing or not.
Ben Shingler is a reporter with the CBC in Montreal. Ben, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And a look at the Eye on the Sky forecast for today. Partly cloudy in the morning, then increasing afternoon clouds. Highs in the upper 40s to low 50s.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency. This episode featured reporting from John Dillon, Amy Kolb-Noyes, Peter Hirschfeld, and Bob Kinzel.
Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions, and our executive producer is Mark Davis. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you on Monday.
Applied for unemployment benefits. Labor Commissioner Labor Commissioner Michael Harrington reported that number yesterday.